episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the world-renowned A Week Late podcast. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. If you want to reach me on Xbox Live and Twitter, Facebook actually is that as well. It's been a while since I've been to the theater, but before I continue on to what movie we're watching this week, I would like to welcome back my brother David to the show. How are you, sir?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
We got together the other day and we realized that neither of us had seen the new 007. It's been getting really good reviews. But like I just told the audience, I believe it's been a while since I've been to the theater. The last episode, I mentioned that we're coming up on a lot of different holidays when it's crucial to share time with people that may have or may not scheduled it. They just show up and you got to go do something and hang out. So it's hard to put out consistent episodes over the holidays. But hopefully during the holidays, one thing that we do a lot is movies. So we might have more opportunity to do that. And you've been on the show before, but for listeners who this is their first time, welcome. For our return listeners, welcome back. This week we are watching, I just said that, Skyfall. It is rated PG-13. And from what I understand, runs almost 2.5 hours long. So, which is becoming sort of the norm these days.
I actually like that.
Yeah, you get more for your money.
Yeah.
Unless the movie sucks ass.
Close.
And then you don't get anything for your money. But we are both fans of 007 flicks.
Absolutely.
There was a debate between a couple of movie buffs on who the best Bond is.
It's kind of been in a debate of the ages, really.
Yeah.
It's like the United States today, it's split 50-50, you know?
Between politicians. I think it was only a topic of discussion after Daniel Craig came into the picture, because before then you only really had two main choices. Because my top two, actually, now, keep in mind, for the new listeners, if you're wondering why this podcast is a week late, just we're heading into Thanksgiving here in 2 days, and I'm just now getting it. It's been out for like a month and a half.
As a matter of fact, the movie's being pulled tomorrow out of all the theaters in the Bay Area.
Which is why we're doing it tonight. We procrastinated so long that this happened. So that's what it's about. I just got tired of watching podcasts or listening to shows that always got like these super Hollywood elite movie critics get all the movies early and then they ruin them for you when you go to rate them. So for the people in my demographic who are lazy, or my other demographic who are broke, You can't always make it to the movies when they come out. So for those people, I decided to come out with a podcast that pretty much, if my show, if this show ruins, spoils the movie for you, it's your own fault, because this is the first portion of the show, and then in the second portion of the show, which is the before we watch the movie, so we go into it not really knowing anything at all, and then we come out and record the second half. But if you haven't seen the movie, you still have the opportunity to do so, because there's an intermission, and then there's also a spoiler countdown. So if you don't want to listen after that, you can listen to the first half of the second portion, go watch the movie, and then come back and either agree or disagree, or agree to disagree, which is a third option you can do. When we go to the movies, the rating system is 0 out of 11, 0 to 10, 0 being the worst, 10 being absolute best, 11 being a perfect movie. The rating, I don't even know. I've never really done a rating, an IMDb rating, but that's what we're on right now, because I was looking up the director. And on IMDb, people have been giving it, well, it has an average of 8.1 out of 10, so that's not bad at all. I have heard good things about it. That's the only thing about waiting too late to do a show, is that you get outside influences of opinions, and you start already being swayed kind of subconsciously.
Well, weeks into the advertising on television and whatnot, they've come out with several things. One being that, this one is basically Daniel Craig is the best Bond ever.
Right.
Those are the kind of, like, the punchline to the movie,
right.
Ads on TV.
Yeah.
Which I actually would have to admit, what was it, the first one or the second one?
So here's where I was
where
going.
He was, free running and stuff. That was a pretty
that
bad
was Casino
movie.
Royale.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
But I have to digress, because I was talking about, before I got into explaining to the new listeners what this whole deal is about, I was talking about the best of the Bonds. And before, you only really had Sean Connery or Pierce Brosnan, really.
There were a few others, but they were kind of...
The original... I don't know. Young Sean Connery all the way to old Sean Connery played Bond. He had, I think the biggest chunk of movies. But Pierce Brosnan was smooth. He was smoother than... So before, I would say Sean Connery was kind of my top. But then Daniel Craig came in and killed it with that free-running shit from Casino Royale.
Definitely the most athletic of the Bonds, and probably, the most buff.
Yeah.
And they showcased that, even that
Daniel
coming out of the water,
He had, the super tight banana hammock on, and he just had to show up every dude in the theater, and then all the women in the theaters, their panties melted at the same time.
Yeah, they all peed a little bit.
God, the thing about this one is the timelines kind of throw me off, because when I first went to see the first, I don't know if it's a reboot or a remake, but they always have, it's like a 007 tradition to bring in a new actor. They've always done that, but I think in this case they're rebooting. This is supposed to be a prequel or something like that. I don't know where it lays in the storyline, because in the very first one with Daniel Craig, which, by the way, this movie is directed by Sam Mendes, who did American Beauty. He did... Let me go forward here. He also did, Road to Perdition and Revolutionary Road. I'm a big fan of American Beauty, big fan of Road to Perdition. Tom Hanks is awesome in that movie, but I have not seen Revolutionary Road. So if any of those movies you have an interest in, I don't know if that matters or not, whether or not Skyfall is going to be good or not, but clearly other people like it. Javier Bardem plays the villain in this one. And for those that don't know, he's pretty much most famous for, I think, his character in There Will Be Blood. I have yet to watch that movie, but I hear it's awesome. And I'm interested to see if I can buy him as a bad guy with blonde hair. He looks really creepy to me. He just doesn't look... I think they did that on purpose.
Maybe that's the point. I don't know. Maybe that's the whole purpose behind his creepy look.
The Bond girl is Naomi Harris. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I didn't recognize her from anything.
Judi Dench comes back to play M. Another interesting character in this, or actor in this movie, is Ralph Fiennes. And I mentioned that I want to make a comment on how weird the pronunciation of his name is, being that it's spelled like Ralph. I think he's, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, he's like Norwegian or something like that, so maybe it changes the pronunciation. I may be way off on that, but that's the only reason I can think of for him to be, to have it pronounced differently.
Weird pronunciation, you know. I don't know if he's French, but that's just my...
Well, yeah, he might be French.
You know, because French are kind of hoity-toity.
Yeah, I think he is French, actually, now that you mention it. When I said strange land, though, that qualifies. The thing I didn't like about what you mentioned before, though, is the progression of the teaser trailer to the day the movie is released are huge. Like, you have a completely different trailer a week out that shows you 99% of the movie in the trailer versus the day before the movie comes out, you only get to see, like, the 30-second one and whatnot. So the longer you wait, the more of the movie you see in the released trailer. So I try not to pay attention too much to that, but living on the internet as much as I do, it's impossible. We get a new Q in this one as well. I don't know how I feel about that. I know the guy that played the old Q has since deceased, which is why they had to replace him, but this kid's like 12. And so for me, I think that's another reason why I think that this serves to be like where James Bond was supposed to have started. But I was explaining to somebody that if that's the case, there's really no way to go back and fix it because of the time period, the vehicles that end up in the first Bond movies, they aren't obviously as up-to-date as the ones we have today, so to reboot something that's that much out of shift with actual time, I don't know. I think that messes people's perceptions up. But I don't know at the same time if 007 is meant to be seen that way. Like, is it supposed to be sequential like that? Does it exist in a timeline?
Maybe that's part of the reason people like the movie. Maybe they somehow, explain that or put a twist in the film that gets you to accept that whole phase shift, or, you know...
Because they did it in the first one.
Well, I was going to say, some of those are remakes anyway, if I'm not mistaken. There was already a Casino Royale made.
Mm.
You know, some of these were already just modernizations of old Bond movies.
That's why I'm confused.
Well,
whether
it's a timeline
or not.
What they're trying to do, I think, honestly, is just... is really... I mean, he's already got three of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I think they're trying to do is to solidify him as the next Bond for this whole generation. So we're not going to have Sean Connery as Bond in three or four of the films, and then they switch up the character and put a modern Pierce Brosnan in there. You know, they're going to just... This is like
Next one.
Yeah, this is like a football...
He's
like,
the next Sean Connery,
like
because, Sean Connery had
right,
a big chunk.
Right, like this is like the franchise bucks going all in with Josh Freeman. Like, this is their man, this is their QB for the next 10 years.
You're probably gonna use it.
You know, and I think this is the same thing with Daniel Craig, is they're just going all in on him being the next Bond forever. You know, until he is, you know, his last, you know, Bond film was the last Bond film that Sean Connery did when he was like 65.
Right.
You know? So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're just going all in on him being the Bond guy, and they're selling that, I think. Because it's all, you know, movies, yeah. I think number one it should be entertaining, but really in the business of and film, it's all about money, and it's about keeping that franchise running as long as possible, just sucking it dry.
Daniel Craig is, I guess, the successor to Liam Neeson in that he puts asses in the seats, and that's all they care about. By the way, I think that's the first ever sports reference in this show. You probably lost all 12 of my listeners. But that's okay. They might be sports fans. It's just funny how I'm sitting here thinking, I've never made a sports reference before. it's funny because it's sad. I was talking with a mutual friend of ours. We both know Troy very well. And I was, even though he doesn't have, what do they call it, a horse in the race, because he's not a big movie buff, but I was just bouncing ideas off of him, and I read an article, was Bond versus Bourne. And they asked Matt Damon about it, and he pretty much said that Bond is a piece of shit,
he's a pussy.
Womanizer pussy, with no class, and I think his statement is solidified by the trailer in which there's a scene where Daniel Craig is climbing up this crane that's tearing off the back of a train. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the second half. And he jumps in the gaping hole of what used to be the back of a train. Before he does anything else, he fixes his cuffs and he makes sure his collar's all nice and tidy. Right. And I'm just like, what? That's not realistic. If you were in that situation, you're not going to fix yourself like that. You're going to be like, holy shit, I just crapped myself. And maybe that's why he's doing it. He's tugging on the cufflinks and his collar so he can distract people from the smell of him shitting himself. But I don't know. I tend to think that Bourne is more of a badass than Bond. As far as toughness is concerned, how many fistfights does Bond actually get into? He shoots a lot more than anything else.
Well, we had this conversation weeks ago, actually. And
why did we have that conversation?
I don't know.
Because
you were watching the trailer on TV or on the computer, so I don't remember how we got.
But was it on the show? Because I'm having deja vu talking about this.
I don't know if it was on the show completely.
I had mentioned something about the 50th anniversary of Bond, and that's when this movie kind of came out. And I'm thinking that we've had this conversation before. I just don't know if it was recorded or not.
I don't know.
So send your complaints to fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. That exists, and I don't check it often, but I should. I think the kid that plays Q, his name is Ben Whishaw, and I know I've seen him in a different movie before. I want to say Hunger Games, but I'm not entirely sure. I'm completely wrong, probably.
He doesn't look familiar to me at all.
I'm glad IMDb has a section that says he's known for, because I'm waiting for that to pop up. Nothing I've seen ever. Something called Bright Star, I'm Not There, and Perfume, The Story of a Murderer. So if you're interested, go check those out. Never heard of this guy before. Let's see how he does. I mean, there's a reason why they casted him, right? He's young, too. He's like 30-something. So the other thing to mention is that's weird. Berenice Morlowe? I don't know how you pronounce that. But it says that she's playing a character that's playing her. That's what that means. That's weird. I'm interested to see what that's about. So she's playing a different character, playing herself. Right?
Yeah. But with a different name.
Weird.
In the movie.
The credits are strange on that one.
That's weird.
So I want to know what that's about. I think we pretty much covered it. Quick intro. For the new listeners, there will be intermission music, and you have anything to add? I think we covered it. I'm interested to see what trailers are coming out because of the holiday season. We could talk about those in the second portion. We should get going.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back for – oh, God, I didn't even say what episode number this was, and I have no idea, so I'll be doing that in the second portion. That's how much preparation this takes. So, yeah, awesome. See you for part two. Skyfall. Been confirmed. This is the second part of episode 42 for what did we just watch? Skyfall. I hope you enjoyed the show. I think we pretty much did. Let me see here. How do I begin? Without spoilers, I guess I'll let you go first. What did you think? Just in general.
In some ways, it met my expectations, I suppose.
You know what? We forgot to do that. We forgot to give our expectations of the movie.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
We didn't say it so, in so many words, but...
It was there, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from it, even though it had been probably really heavily advertised. I don't watch a whole lot of live TV, so...
Me either.
I kind of missed out on all the hype, so I really didn't know what to expect, and quite honestly, even being a Bond fan, what, you know... The title meant altogether, so it was kind of a surprise.
I feel, to be honest with you, I feel a little inadequate as a Bond fan in this respect because I don't know what it is they're trying to do to the franchise, but it's confusing me. I think if I go into the Daniel Craig 007s without having any, pretending that I had no prior knowledge that that character existed, this wouldn't be confusing to me. But for some reason, I keep trying to tie these in to, or I think that they're trying to tie these in somehow, and that's what's throwing me off. So during this movie, I found myself knowing that that was ruining the experience for me, finding out where this fits in the James Bond universe in the timeline, which sucks because I thought this movie was really well shot. It's a different Bond that we haven't seen before. This should have been a Sean Connery 007. He was an older, scruffy, unshaven, out of shape, kind of depressed Bond. He wasn't really himself, and everybody in the movie knew it. It was a thing in the film. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but because I later when I say why that is, that's the spoiler. But that itself isn't the spoiler. I think it was well cast, like you had mentioned before. I guess I just needed a refresher as to who the original characters are. How they're tying the timelines together, or if they're doing that, or if they're meaning for it to be a new timeline, a new sort of experience.
I think so. I think it leans a little bit. It tries to start over, you know, by giving you the origins of the cast.
We touched on it a little bit, and I had kind of likened it to what J.J. Abrams did to Star Trek, Sam Mendes tried to do with 007, but I think it was done in the wrong movie. If you're going to try to reboot one, shouldn't it be at the beginning of the series? That's what throws me off.
Well, I mean, if we're going to get into that, then Star Wars was done all wrong.
No, I mean, but that's not a reboot, though. That's a continuation of a story.
Right, but they started with then the earlier chapters. He wrote the first three movies, which were after three other books, and then they go back and do the
prequels. Well, yeah, but those are legitimate prequels. If you're rebooting a movie, you're starting everything over. Like I said,
I think they did, but I don't want to get into spoilers.
If that's the case, well, that's what I'm saying. If you're doing that, shouldn't it be done in the first movie of the series, not the third one?
No.
That doesn't fucking make any sense.
It doesn't have
to
be that way.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because then there would have been no M.
The Amazing Spider-Man is rebooting a series. You're starting over. This is a new story. This is a new origin. We're telling a new story. If you're going to do that, it has to start.
It doesn't have to. Who says that?
It has to. That's how you reboot something. By definition, a reboot is from the beginning.
I say you can creatively reboot something without having a specific formula for rebooting something.
But there's no solid evidence that that's what they're doing, is what I'm saying. There's no clear evidence that they're rebooting this franchise. I don't know what they're doing to it, and it's confusing the shit out of me, which is why I think I need to get into a spoiler countdown, because I'm about to get into why. But first we need to do ratings. So as far as your expectations go, they were pretty much met, but were they low expectations? Because we already know what to expect from these movies. It's a lot of high action. It's a lot of
Bond getting laid.
Bond getting a lot of tail, yeah. Right?
It expected my
women in this movie were lackluster, though. Don't you think? They weren't like drop dead gorgeous, hot like
one was. I think so? Yeah, she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm gonna finally say on this. I expected to be disappointed, and I wasn't.
I kind of was too, but I was disappointed in different ways, which is why I gave it the score I gave it. But I was going middle to high road. I was expecting another Casino Royale. Like they had to get to that level of good in order for me to even consider giving this a higher score than I thought. You know what I mean? Because if it's not going to beat his predecessors, what's kind of the point? You always want to make a better sequel.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, Transformers 2. And that, you know, doesn't always happen. So is this a better sequel? So that's what I was struggling with the whole time. If I didn't have to think about all of that, it didn't ruin my movie experience. I'm not going to, like, be melodramatic about it. I wasn't sitting there, you know, asking the theater guy to restart the movie because I was preoccupied in my own thoughts about the prequels and whatnot. But I don't know. So if you had to give it a score based on that being said.
Well, the score is probably a little inflated by other aspects of the film, not just because I wasn't disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it inflated. I would say being held up.
No, that's being fair, actually. I was saying kind of that I wish I could give this two separate ratings, but in actuality, I have to take the rating I would give it on the. If I was basing this movie just on pure action alone, it would probably be upwards of about like a 9, maybe like a 9.5, because some of the stunts were freaking crazy. Yeah.
They were really cool.
And they were really, I would say the stunts.
Original, too.
They were very original. The stunts in this movie outdo those of Taken 2, hands down.
Oh, my God.
Hands down.
Yeah.
And they're not really Bond-esque either. Again, not to get into the spoilers, but I might just have to put a hold on what I want to say, because it's getting into why that gets knocked down from a pure action aspect of it then you have to incorporate the things that I was worrying about, storyline and acting, and which were all top notch. But you know, where the story fits in the timeline and the characters being sort of rebooted and switched around, like you were talking about. There were a few plot holes, I think, that we'll talk about. But it's really hard because if my plot hole isn't a plot hole, once we talk about it, my score has to stick. You know what I'm saying? It has to stay the same. Once we get that explained, it'll be like, oh, I was wrong. It should have got another point now. I can't go back and, like, redo it. I suppose I can.
Yeah, you can. It's your show. You can do whatever you want.
It's just never been really done that way before. But
I think it was
the show ratings are like
aggregate 7.9 in my book.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that easy for you, huh?
Yeah. Aggregate, it's not quite an 8 because an 8 is
what would have given you that extra 0.1 for it to be an 8, because I'm teetering between that too. Like, it's funny that you mentioned that because I don't, what makes it, well, I guess you can't talk about it because you'd be spoiling it.
More boob. I mean,
it's PG-13 now.
I mean, even, but 13-year-olds haven't said titty before.
Right. These days, they're probably getting laid more than I am.
That's what I'm saying. You know, not really. Because I could really, like, because what was funny about me.
More boobs. I was thinking that,
the
man.
Sex scenes were like, oh,
lame.
And then, oh.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, and that's, and I get it.
That's a minor spoiler.
Well,
the sex was lame.
Well, PG-13, and I had to remember that. I'm like, wow, okay, so they made this PG-13 for a reason, you know, to broaden the audience, I guess. But
I'm glad you brought up the rating, because
sex doesn't just give me that 0.1. It was
right.
More, to me, because
not even side boob. I'm a good fan of good side boob, and
side
not even that.
The old Bonds didn't show any nudity, really. It was more of
very suggestive.
Right.
It was
even the language was
innuendo.
Yeah, very, very,
I mean,
deep.
Pussy galore.
Right.
Come on. That's like,
so to me, I think the
octopussy,
what I didn't give it the full 8 was from, like I told you before, 60% of the movie I hadn't quite sunk my teeth into it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sell me right away. And
yeah,
you know,
I was there too.
And so that's why I give it that just under an 8, because I wasn't like dumb. I wasn't like all the way into it until, I don't know at what point did I teeter off. And say,
I know
okay,
what point.
I liked it.
I know what point it was, but we had to talk about
probably,
it. In a
I
second.
Probably do know what it is.
It took me a while to be on board, but not as long, and for different reasons. I'm not gonna let your score influence mine. I shouldn't. Like I said, if this movie was based on pure action, close to maybe 9.5,
yeah.
Like, you know, but once you start getting into, you know, plot and storyline and maybe some mistakes, yeah, I think this movie should get like a 7.5 for me. I wanted to give it more. I wanted to give it better. It was almost as good as Casino Royale, but not quite there. And even though I haven't done a podcast on Casino Royale, which I may now have to go do, it would get, I know it would get a better score than a 7.5, just because I've seen it already, you know, and rarely do I do podcasts on movies I've seen already. So, that being said, feel free to email me or email us with your own ratings and tell us why we're wrong or why we're right or why you agree or disagree. That's wrong email, sorry. fans.aweeklate@gmail.com or hit us up on facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Leave us some comments. Let us know which episode you're referring to, and then proceed to give us your feedback. So the spoiler countdown goes thusly: 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's all the time you get. So if you haven't seen this movie, you want to see this movie without us spoiling it, stop listening now. Fair warning. So, besides side boob, I had a real – first of all, let me tell you the good things about why the action's already there. The motorcycle scene on the rooftops was the shit. I loved it. That was the first point where I was like, 9. This movie gets a 9. Like, that motorcycle shit on the rooftops, like, kind of reminded me, like, the Taken scene on the rooftop with motorcycles.
Right,
that's
right.
All you had to add, and it was like, yes, that's
the exact thing. I want to say, weren't they not in the same city?
I don't know, because as soon as you saw the coastline, you knew what city it was, but they never said where they were.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it may have been
the right same rooftop.
And they may have been like, hey, man, what scene are you shooting today? So I think that was awesome. The crane scene that I was talking about with the train.
Pretty cool.
Was cool. The twists in this movie, not many besides who's replacing, and I'm going to only say spoiler because it's a huge one, who's replacing the characters that die off in this movie. The original people that played the original M and Q, M was still here. Unfortunately, we say goodbye to her. She passes at the end. But she's getting old. Like, they probably know, like, you're going to kick the bucket soon in real life. We can't keep dragging this character out because you're going to die.
Well, and I think that's probably reason number one. But also, that is why I suspect this is some kind of
mashup,
amorphized reboot where they're trying to be creative with it and saying, okay, we're here she is in her last bit of glory. There's politics involved with the thing, you know, and I think they did a great job.
She was in a lot more of the movie than she
normally
is. She was a main character in this film.
Right, so it was a great homage to that character, you know, and then they sold you off on the new one, at least to me they did.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to hate him at first and then, oh good, now he's the new M.
Ralph Fiennes' character.
Right. So to me,
I thought he was going to be a douche, and in classic Bond style, I thought he was going to end up being the bad guy. But he was great. He was solid. And they made you put that faith into. They gave you a little bit of that douchiness
that, like,
because
hand over, you know, here's where you came from, and then here's how he got there.
I had said earlier that I wasn't quite buying this trade-off, but if I can buy your explanation for what they're doing to the timeline, because with me everything works chronologically, and this meld of this mashup reboot is breaking my brain chronologically because it's bringing these two universes together. Literally in this movie you see, and you knew the car, what was the car?
Yeah, it was an old Aston Martin.
The old Aston Martin.
Yeah, the old DB5 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Classic Bond.
Yeah.
What wasn't classic Bond is another thing that I liked about this movie that gave it a high score was that all previous Bonds, MI6 is in a good light with people. This actually reminded me of the first Mission Impossible the latest Mission Impossible where they had to disband and pretty much become Black Ops. Like, they were Mission Impossible, but under the radar, because to the government they didn't exist anymore. That's kind of the British version of what's happening here, is that MI6 is sort of questioned because of their security breaches. They lose information, which, by the way, is a reason why this movie loses a score with me, is because of the alleged plot hole that I think has to do with the missing hard drive. So they get bashed. They go into proceedings with the British government, should MI6 be disbanded, with claims of security issues. Meanwhile, Javier Bardem's character is literally bum-rushing the courthouse that they're in to kill M, like in cold, straight-up cold blood, revenge kill. There's no way around it. Another good point, another good reason this got a good score, Javier Bardem. In this movie, I bought him since the second he was on screen. Had no idea what he was about. He tells a compelling story to introduce. It's pretty much foreshadowing. It's this one scene where Javier Bardem's character is being introduced. He pretty much tells you what's going to happen for the rest of the movie in that one speech. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool, actually. I believe I described him as Puerto Rican gay. And then I can say that. I can get away with it because I'm part Puerto Rican. So the part of me that is Puerto Rican laughs at that. And it's pretty funny because I actually have – we have allegedly – I worked with this guy at Best Buy. I hope he's okay with this. He doesn't listen to this. But he could possibly be a cousin of ours. Dominic Torres. I don't know if you've ever met him.
No, I don't think so.
Wow, I just gave out our last name on the podcast. I don't think I've ever done that before. That's okay. And he was Puerto Rican. He was gay. So he reminded me a lot of this character. Technically, I believe Javier Bardem's character in this movie was bi because he did have a female lover, who is the woman that you're talking about
That
was smoking hot.
Well, I think it's part of the profile of psychopaths is that they're sexual deviants, and that
they're confused in every aspect of their lives. They don't know what they're doing, which way to go.
So it's part of the profile thing where, you know.
But he played it brilliantly.
Oh, I think it was.
And it was humorous
it was
as well. He brought humor into it.
And even Bond got into a little bit. He was, what makes you think this is my first time?
Yeah, I was like, and he goes, Mr.
Oh, Bond. Yeah.
That was funny. The chemistry that they had was great. But here's what really stood out to me. Every other Bond movie, literally every other Bond movie has gadgets galore, remote control cars from cell phones, product placement like a motherfucker. This didn't have that. This movie was the most human version of Bond I've ever seen, and for that reason I think people are liking it. Mm. He gets shot very early in the film. It makes you, actually twice, one that slows him down and one that allegedly kills him, supposedly kills him. That's probably the biggest spoiler, is that he dies in the middle of the movie, like towards the beginning, actually.
Yeah, not much towards the middle at all.
Which is also shown in the trailer, so technically not a spoiler. Again, they tell you in the trailer that Bond is dead in the film. So, like, not really a spoiler, but those are the things that make it all great. I'm sure there's more, and we'll talk about those. Judi Dench's performance was awesome. The black girl, who, again, I shouldn't be saying it, spoiler, even though I don't have to, the new Moneypenny. The new Q I actually did like.
Yeah.
He ended up being a good fit. The new M is Ralph Fiennes' character. He's going to be a really good fit. At the very end, it is blatant. They tell you there will be more
right.
Bond movies.
Right.
I think they say that is because when he first signed on, he was only supposed to do 3. But like you said, they're opening this up. He's going to be the next Sean Connery version,
right.
Our version of Sean Connery for this
generation. Right.
We're probably going to see, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe 5 or 6 more films, 5 or 6 more Bond films with Daniel Craig in it. If this tells them anything, it's that he's a moneymaker. I mean, it's been in the theater for probably close to 2 months, and it's broken the $200 million mark. So that's just money in the bank. I don't know how much it cost to make this movie, because that does matter as well. But clearly, if they're saying at the end of the movie, before they even see the numbers, that there will be a next one, they know it's making.
Well, I would easily think it's a $100 million movie to make. Maybe even 125, buck 50, but breaking the 200 doesn't really mean a whole lot because they already know they're making more.
Right.
So if they only made 50, 60 million off this movie after they pay for the cost, it doesn't matter because that's just gravy after this point. You know, they can spend, you know, less than 100 million the next time around and sell twice as many tickets or whatever. So, you know, I think for me, now that it's kind of fully sunk in, I really kind of am looking forward to the next one, and you know what, I'm gonna dare to say this. I don't even care if they get corny, because some of the original ones were freaking corny, and I think that's why.
I can't believe they got away with some of the stuff that they got away
like,
with.
This guy's a pussy. Like, this shit's corny. Like,
yeah.
So that kind of is the panache. That's kind of what sells Bond as a different type of spy, as a different type, you know. Plus, we got to think, this is from a British standpoint, and the Brits think they're sexy.
Mm.
You know, the Brits have this supposedly even the poorest person is upper class, you know, mentality where, you know, just because, oh, well, I have this accent, so I'm better than you.
Right, right.
Type of, you know.
The queen's, the what do they call it? The queen's, it's the queen's everything.
Yeah, right.
I think I diverted off of a point I was making before. Interesting how the Motion Picture Association of America rates this movie PG-13 when it was actually pretty much filmed in Great Britain and has nothing to do with the United States. The Motion Picture Association of America rates this PG-13. I guarantee you that if we as a, and I don't mean me and you, I mean me, we as an American people knew more quote unquote curse words in Britain, this movie would be rated R. Because they curse more, that's how they get away with it.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit about their curse words, we give a shit about ours. So over there, this movie's probably rated R just because, I don't even know if they give a shit. There's no MPAB. MPAGB.
The government controls that.
The Motion Picture Association of Great Britain.
No, the government, it controls all of it.
They don't have ratings though, do they?
If they do, the government controls it. The government, some government bureaucrat screens the movie and decides, well, the queen says it's this.
Right.
And that's that.
If anybody knows out there, I'm curious, email me what Great Britain's picture, like film rating system is. I know the Canadians have one similar to us.
Well, the reason I say that is because I lived over there for a year.
Right.
And everything is state-sponsored, mm-hmm. meaning the government controls it.
Of course.
Radio, BBC,
I kind of chuckled when...
So everything is government-controlled. So if you want to add something to your house, the government has to approve it. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing.
Yeah. I kind of had a chuckle in the movie to myself where... Ray Fiennes' character says, "This is a democracy." No, you're not really. You're technically a monarchy. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's a monarchy with democratic or with tendencies.
Democratic overtones.
Yeah, because they do
have
vote
voting and stuff like that. But
for the prime minister, not for the queen.
Right. And so the queen has been in power for decades, and
you can't
vote her out.
Right.
So not really democracy there, buddy. The prime minister still gets orders from the queen, so remember that. Prime minister, all you're voting for is who the queen's bitch is going to be for the next however many years. I don't know. Do they do, like, 6 pence?
They
I don't
do.
Know how.
Like, Fortnite?
They measure it in Fortnite?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. What about you? Do you agree or disagree on the good points? Or
No, I do. I think
besides side boob, why didn't this get a perfect 10 or an 11?
You know, now that I think about it, I'm not quite sure. I think it's just because from a contrast to. I mean, we keep on alluding to Casino Royale because it was just so good.
It set the bar for the movies.
It didn't quite meet that level that, like, Casino Royale did. I mean, I watched that movie I don't know how many times out the gate. Like, I went and saw it, and I'm like, wow. And then, you know, I went over to somebody's house, whatever, and they're like, oh, we rented this. I'm like, sweet,
right.
You know? And it was just, like, such a great movie. I enjoyed watching it.
People get disappointed when you go over and you've seen something, like, no.
No,
I'm
good. Right.
Yeah.
I'll shut up.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It should have gotten a higher score in a specific category, I think, that... still didn't push it over the 8%, the 8 mark. That's why I give it a 7.9. And I don't know what it is exactly, because we differ on that.
Here's what it is.
I think they did a great, even though it's a mind bender for some, where you know, if you think chronologically, but I don't really care about chronological order. Time is jacked up anyway. Who cares?
Yeah, that's just the way our brain works.
Right.
So.
But so I kind of, I'm bad with time. You can we just had this, right? And 2 weeks from now, I won't know the day or the date that today just happened.
Oh, I know, yeah.
I'm bad with time.
Fuck
so
that.
For me, chronological order doesn't really make – I'm good with melding it all in and just sell it to me in a package that I – and I bought it, you know? I bit the bullet at first. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure I like this. And then I just went ahead and swallowed the gunpowder.
Right.
Because it was such
a good solution. I can't talk about it too much because there's going to be a separate show altogether on Assassin's Creed 3. But a good example of my OCD when it comes to watching things in chronological order. We were watching Big Bang Theory today, and what's-his-face, Sheldon, said, I can't watch the Attack of the Clones TV show, or the movie, I can't watch the Attack of the show, the Attack of the Clones TV show until I watch the movie, right? Or the other way around.
One of the two.
Can't watch the movie until I watch the TV show, because chronologically, the TV show was created later than the movie, but the show was created... In the timeline of the show, it was created before Attack of the Clones, or between Episode 1 and Episode 2. Now we're talking about Star Wars again. But that's the same way my brain works. If Assassin's Creed, by the time I got the first Assassin's Creed 2 and 3, or 2 and Brotherhood had already come out, and I was 3 games behind. I could have jumped into Brotherhood and got caught up, but did I do that? No. I actually went and bought Assassin's Creed 3 from my friend Gunner. He is actually responsible for getting me into that. And even in those games, chronological order matters. I could not continue to the next part of the game until I figured out what happened in chronological order. That's just the way, I don't know. But for Assassin's Creed 3, I beat it for the whole storyline. Luckily, I'm in good hands with that company because they know how to write it in such a way that even if I play more of the game later, the chronological order is still there.
Yeah.
It's put back into place where I'm supposed to see it in the first
like
place.
Like one of those Seinfeld.
You and Dad can jump back and forth, and I can't watch
it like
that.
I'm like one of those Seinfeld people where it's like, yada, 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 and then this happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My brain can fill in the rest, or if I saw that first, I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened in this movie.
You
and
can
I
place
just,
it in.
And
yeah.
I play the, you know, Monty.
That's what happened.
Monty, and I can do that.
Three-card Monty happens
right.
with Assassin's Creed 3.
Right. And I have
For
no
some
problem.
Reason they wrote it
I don't have
like
any
that.
Problem doing that. To me, it doesn't really matter.
With movies, it drives me fucking bonkers. It just, it breaks my head, and I'm just like, here's why. Yes or no. The hard drive that was lost and with a security breach that was hacked and all that good stuff. Why is it that it's so important to protect the identity of those people when someone asks James Bond who he is, he always tells him their real name. Isn't he supposed to be a secret agent man?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that about? If they're protecting all these names and all they're undercover, supposedly all these agents are undercover, why isn't he undercover? He tells people straight up who he is. Haven't they Googled him before?
Who
the fuck he is?
If you notice, the others weren't these secret agents. They were American Black Ops guys, or they were, you know, CIA agents, or they were some other, you know... They weren't just MI6.
Well, she said global,
right?
There was, you know...
But some of them were MI6 agents, but a lot of them, if you looked at some of the pictures that they went through, they were like Delta Force, you know, CIA.
But still, that's my point.
Well, because he's 007. He's just...
Everybody knows who he is, so when he shows up, they're like, oh, you're coming to get us? Game on.
You can think back to some
He's announcing who he is.
Hey, you can think back to some of the original... The nemesis hadn't even met him yet, didn't even know who he was, and then when he walks into the lair, well, you must be Mr. Bond, you know, like, well, because he's just renowned, he's the spy of the century, like, that's, you know, well, that's the, you know,
Jesus.
That's how the, you know, the
I
whole
just,
story goes.
It's so much.
He doesn't have to have a cover blown because he is who he is, you know. He's a superstar. Look, he turned down 6 million euro and told, oh, blood it all on red.
Yeah.
I would walk out with that case.
Well, he just finished beating the shit out of somebody with it. By the way, fucking dragons in this movie just straight up eat a nigga. Like, he gets eaten.
That was the biggest Komodo dragon I've ever seen. Either that or...
Do you think it was CG?
It could have been.
I think that was a CG dragon.
I know they get big.
Mm-hmm.
They get about the size of a small alligator, you know, but...
No, I've heard they get bigger than that.
But...
That big,
that
actually.
That thing was enormous.
Ginormous. It took a chunk out of a dude's leg and then dragged him into the cave.
But you know what?
which also was the last we saw of the palm encrypted handgun. He's like, oh, great, there goes
my fucking... He left it in the thing.
I was so mad. I'm like, this is the only gadget you have, and you just lost it to a dragon. Yeah. Anyway.
But, you know, going to some stupid... The Dakota dragon...
But before you say that, does me knocking it down a point for that plot hole as far as he can be anybody the fuck he wants, yet we have to protect a hard drive with a bunch of secret names on it? He's supposed to be a secret agent. Everybody knows who the fuck he is.
Yeah.
I don't get that. That's the reasoning. So anyway.
I mean, it is a glaringly obvious problem. But if you haven't seen 007, the very first one, you would have a problem with it from the very first one 40 years ago. I mean, because every girls scream out his name in secret submarines, you know. Oh, Bond, you know. It's not a secret who he is.
And he gets to bang in space, and then ground control hears his name
in
space.
Right, I mean, hello. It's
I don't know, man. That's just a little bit too much hubris for me. I can't fake that.
His identity is not a secret. It's just not. Other agent, it's not like...
There was a song about him...
Get Smart, you know?
Yeah,
where, you know?
That's great.
So, anyway...
Get Smart reference in the 007 episode, I love it.
But, you know, I think...
For anybody out there who doesn't know what Get Smart is, and you're too young, go to Nick at Night.
Nick at Night, yeah.
Or just Google it. It's some of the funniest shit you'll ever see. It's old school spy comedy. Seasons 1 through 4 are all in black and white. That's how old this show is. But then after that, it's in color. But it's the funniest thing. And there was a Steve Carell movie that was based on it.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
It was okay. It could have been better. I feel a little upset about Steve Carell because he is the perfect representative.
You don't think he did it?
No, he did. But it was the movie, the way it was written. Mm. He couldn't have been better cast.
Mm.
And he is a talented mm-hmm. artist. But the movie itself was,
didn't sell it right.
Yeah, it was half-hearted. I mean, it was a mistake.
That's too bad.
It is too bad because I wish they would do it over with Carell again.
They're probably going to get a sequel. He made a lot of money on that movie.
I don't know. I don't really know if he did or didn't. I hope he did because I liked it just because I have to stand for it. It's the only modern representation of Get Smart.
Get Smart is the best TV show. Best comedy TV show back in the day.
Following Mr. Ed. Like, it was Mr.
Ed and then Get Smart.
Wow. God, we're old.
Fucking old.
Okay, so anyway.
Anyhoot.
I'm going to edit that part out.
Our last names and our ages. Could you say the Komodo dragon? I interrupted you.
They don't actually eat people.
I was going to ask you that.
I hear
they can kill you, though.
They can
kill you.
But it's from their saliva. That's it. Their saliva is poisonous. That's it.
They can't break your legs with their tails or something?
They might, but they might be able to maim you and hurt you, but they're not going to eat you. If they bite you...
That motherfucker got bit.
I know.
And drug in and...
The
he,
bite alone...
And as Bond was walking away, it sounded like he was eating a motherfucker.
I know, but that's the stigma behind it. It's not true. They're not flesh eaters, I don't think. I'm telling you, the only thing that is dangerous about them is their poison.
They can devour heads of lettuce in 2 seconds, but they're not going to eat your torso.
Their saliva
I did hear something about that.
Their saliva is poisonous.
And also, side note, we're talking about animals. Did you know Daddy Longlegs, one of the most poisonous spiders on the face of the planet?
I haven't heard that, but...
Do you know why?
No, not...
Humans never die when they get bit from Daddy Longlegs. Their teeth are so small they can't puncture human skin.
Okay.
If they could, you'd be a dead-ass motherfucker.
That's awesome.
Yep. That's one of the best things. That's one of the... That's it. That's probably as impressive a fact as I know.
Pretty cool.
I know that there is a treadmill in space named after Stephen Colbert, and that's about the extent of my knowledge on that. I did learn some cool shit about the Hubble. Good segue. I don't know. Is that pretty much wrapping it up for 007?
Yeah, because, you know, I even think that they tried to stir up some, you know... hoopla on the Bond girls, but I don't see it in this one. She was hot.
I don't see it in this one at all.
I'm a little disappointed. I mean...
There was always this hype. It's like, oh, Denise Richards is the new Bond girl. It's like, who the fuck is this chick?
Yeah.
And another spoiler, Bond girl's fucking dead.
Yeah.
They kill her ass in this movie, like, almost right away. The whole thing I mentioned, IMDb mentioned her playing a different character, playing herself.
That didn't
come up at all.
Yeah, I don't understand where that came from.
I do want to say something,
though.
That's
probably why they killed her, because she wasn't really a good character. She was just like, I want to be in a movie and, you know, blew somebody. And we don't even have a name.
Daniel Craig's agent.
Yeah, you know, like,
you're playing yourself. You're not even that important.
You're a whore. Go.
One of the things I do want to mention, the clever way that Javier Bardem's character killed the Bond girl, he was in this contest with Bond saying whoever can knock the shot glass off her head onto the ground wins. He never mentioned that you had to just shoot the shot glass. So Bond, which is another reason why this movie, I guess we're not done talking about it, another reason why this movie got a lower score is because they clearly had him fail all the tests to get back in, and then all of a sudden he becomes a great shot again. I hated that.
Where did he become a great shot? He missed her.
No, he missed her, but later on when he was chasing Javier Bardem's character before the train fell through the roof, he shot him close to where his hand was, and he goes, next time I won't miss.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you that maybe he's getting his skills back, but the whole movie they were working to show you how shitty of a Bond he is, and all of a sudden he's got his aim back.
Well, I think that can happen in the real world, because it's not, see, it's and I like that premise of the film. He is a great agent, but just because he misses the target every once in a while in a controlled environment doesn't mean he's not going to execute when it comes to time to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why he was like, you know what, screw that. I'm just going to walk closer to this thing and shoot it right there.
Right.
I passed.
Right.
You know, like, he didn't.
But he still really didn't. He was a terrible shot.
Yeah.
He had not one good group on that whole target.
I know, it was hilarious. Because he was kind of hungover all the time and, you know, like, you know, even his psychological things that he was dependent on pills and alcohol, whatever.
And then Javier Bardem goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
He's like, oh,
yeah.
It's so funny.
It was good. So I think that was a way to show that, you know, you don't always have to be the best shot or whatever. It just takes a Bond personality to be a good, you know, agent.
I think the same thing I gave it props for is the same thing that took it away, is because his humanity,
right,
I think, spanned both sides of the line. So, that being said, though, I'm not going to talk too much about much else. The trailers that we saw are nothing new. Heads up, you guys, the new Tom Cruise movie is going to be a huge steaming pile of shit. It looks terrible. It looks boring.
It doesn't appear, I don't know.
It looks really bad. It's like Jack something.
Yeah.
Even in the trailer, it's convoluted as to what, and I'm a huge fan of there not being too much information in a trailer. There isn't any information in this trailer.
I'm just like you. I'm a cop just like you. The difference is every single suspect is a murderer.
Isn't that what we're all doing?
Okay. And
so you're the only one that investigates murders on that police force?
Oh, is a professional murderer or is a sniper or whatever. Who cares?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
We all deal with criminals.
You're not that impressive, Tom.
I don't know. Tom Cruise needs to find the volcano that his god came out of and jump into it. That was a Scientology reference for people that didn't understand that. What else? We saw Wreck-It Ralph, which
Hobbit.
I want to go see. The Hobbit was the first time I saw the full, I don't know if it's the extended trailer. I think
it was the extended trailer.
It's pretty long.
That very last scene there that they showed them. Then they had,
I just mentioned Stephen Colbert. He will be in the second Hobbit movie as a cameo.
Really?
Yes.
The second Hobbit movie?
Yeah, they're making three.
Wow.
Yeah. The other trailer that we saw.
So he just has to show his ears already looking.
Yeah, that's right.
Ears.
He does, actually. Okay. I noticed that the other day. Stephen Colbert has some fucked up ears.
Yeah.
What else? I don't think there was really anything else in. Red Dawn.
Yeah. Remake, you know.
Chris Hemsworth's brother Thor's brother. Thor's little brother's in this movie, correct? Or is it Thor himself?
No, I thought it was Thor himself.
It's Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, he tries to fake an American accent.
Yeah, she's very British, correct?
No, he sounds American, but you can tell
Norwegian.
It's not real.
Because he plays the Norse god, and he uses his regular accent.
Pretty much,
that.
Yeah.
This is another, it's a remake from an 80s movie. I don't know if anybody out there remembers the Wolverines. They come together to defeat the Riskies. Remember the Wolverines?
Yeah, of course.
Fucking A, man.
That movie was on just a little while. I think they're bringing it back on TV just because
they have to hype the movie.
Right?
In this case, we are no longer in a Cold War with the Russians. Rather
than
USSR.
They are communist in this movie, apparently, still.
But it's not Russia, it's
right.
China this time.
Russia,
they're making it relevant.
Right.
They own us financially, but what would happen if they came and bombed our asses because we wouldn't pay them back?
Right.
I think that's a great premise for the movie, and if that's not the premise, do that shit,
right.
Hollywood, because that should be the premise. We were unable to pay them back, and they bombed the shit out of us.
So they're just going
to
take us over.
Right. Maybe that is the premise, and I just spoiled the movie. If that's the case, why am I? I should be writing fucking rewrites of Red Dawn. And instead of the Wolverines, they're going to call it, like, the Porcupines or some shit, and they're going to fuck it all up. Anyway. Yeah, I guess the trailers were kind of terrible.
There's one I'm missing, but I can't think of it right now.
We walked in on one that we hadn't seen. We got there on time, just enough to watch it end, but we didn't get the name of the film. So that doesn't help. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Oh, there's one, the new Die Hard.
Oh, yes. That's the first time I saw...
I never knew that there was going to be another Die
you
Hard.
You didn't know about it at all.
I didn't.
I knew that there was going to be one. I didn't know it was coming out so soon. Oh, you know which one we are missing? I'll tell you about it. But the new Die Hard movie is called A Good Day to Die Hard. Apparently he has a son that we've never, ever, ever heard of him before, and all of a sudden he exists. They got to figure something out because they're going to keep making these movies.
I know he had a daughter, did not she say? She had a brother maybe somewhere? I'm going to have to go back and look at that one, the one with the Apple guy, the Apple kid.
That
was a decent dialogue.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I just knew his name until you said Apple Kid, and that messed me up. Josh something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know his name, but I'm thinking of it right now.
You know what we're forgetting? The new Tarantino flick.
Oh, right.
The
D is silent.
Yes, Django.
Yeah.
With, help me out. There's a bunch of people in this, first of all. I was going to say George Clooney.
It's Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
The main character, apparently.
We have...
I can't think of any of the other actors in there. I can't remember their faces now.
Growing Pains.
No, we also
Jesus
had...
Christ.
What's his name from...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio, there we go.
Is in this movie.
Yeah. That's the only two I can think of. I don't know who the others are.
I can't remember
them.
There's so many others, but... Yeah, go look that up. It's called Django. I'm going to try to find it here in a second, but the Wi-Fi is kind of sketchy
pretty,
here.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
It's actually called Django Unchained.
Can't wait to move.
It's spelled D-J-A-N-G-O. And like we said, it's got Quentin Tarantino's directing it. He actually wrote it. Don Johnson is in this movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jamie Foxx. Jonah Hill.
Oh, there we go.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Sam Jackson, of course.
So I'm actually looking forward to that one. I have been made into Quentin Tarantino fan.
Wow, I can't believe you just said that.
You know I don't like Quentin Tarantino.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I can't believe you said that.
I've just now been made into a Quentin Tarantino fan because he recently just released a movie with RZA. And anybody who works with the... number one producer in hip-hop is okay in my book.
Well, you know, he's been doing soundtracks.
You know he did the soundtrack to Life with Eddie Murphy?
I know.
That was a brilliant soundtrack. Had zero hip-hop in it, and it was fucking incredible. A lot of acoustic guitar in that movie.
He's secretly done some of the music for other films. I don't want to go back as far as, like... the Reservoir Dogs, but soon after is when they started collaborating.
You're correct about that. So, I do agree.
Because I've been a fan of Quentin Tarantino. I know you hated him for a long time. And
it was so hard for me to do that interview that lasted 5 hours. That's all we talked about was Quentin Tarantino. I wanted to stab myself in the face multiple times in filming it in different angles and then play it back so it would last 5 hours in a movie. Yeah, so lately he's been doing things that make me want to go back and watch Kill Bill.
Four Rooms is great. Kill Bill's amazing.
Never seen it.
Four Rooms?
I've seen Four Rooms. It's on my Netflix. I want to watch it again soon.
Kill Bill I loved. I watched those movies.
The only
if it
thing,
was on videotape, that tape would have been stripped and broken. Cause, you know,
the only thing that I like about... The only thing that I've seen is the anime in one long sequence from those.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're chopped up in the movie. Yeah. I've seen them in one long sequence.
That's cool.
But
I've
they're
never
great,
seen it.
Yeah. So, I was going to talk a little bit more about what was it? Oh, I was going to talk about podcasting real quick. If you guys are fans of what were we talking about before? The Star Trek. There is Gene Roddenberry's son has a new podcast out on the Nerdist Network that talks about Star Trek stuff. The new J.J. Abrams Star Trek is coming out next year, I believe. Another podcast. We were talking about the reference you made in sports earlier. It's never been done. If you do like sports and comedy, there is a podcast for that. It's called Scarborough Country. It's on the Earwolf Network. I talk about it a lot. The Sklar brothers are super hilarious guys. Go check out some of those if you haven't heard them. I think that's it. Like I said, I want to talk a little bit more about video games, but we're actually doing a show coming up here real soon with just video games, talking mostly about Assassin's Creed 3. I wanted to, and if I can't find it, here we go. I don't know if he's listening. It's been a while, but I met a guy by the name of John Dinsmore, and we were talking, and he is a distributor for a local brewery here in Tampa called Cigar City Brewers Brewery. If you haven't heard of them, go check them out. If you're a beer connoisseur or any other fact, he has actually one of the first, if not the first, gourmet beers from a can, and I've tasted it, and it's delicious. Doesn't taste like it's in a can at all, but they're local, and they sell it.
Yeah, I've had Cigar City Brewer before.
I believe it's called...
I'm a fan with anything Cigar City.
Yeah, I believe it's called Bale's Pale Ale, and it comes in a can, and it's delicious. There's also Sea Dog Blueberry, Bell's Two Hearted, Cigar City Maduro Brown, and Highland Oatmeal Porter. You guys should check those out. We're not being sponsored by them. I just met him, and I told him that I had a show and that I would mention that. So thanks, John, for that. Go check out his website, I believe. Or if you're interested in any of those, you can email him at john.dinsmore@brown.com, like the color. So there's that. Thank you, John. I think that about does it for this show. What do you think? Thank you very much, man. I had fun, like always.
Yeah. It was a good flick.
It was a good flick. I wouldn't mind watching it again, actually. It's kind of like the more you talk about it, it'll either get better or get worse.
Yeah.
And I think that this one actually got better for me.
For me, afterwards, too. Now I'm like, I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, it was good. Just to reiterate, I really liked how it was down to earth. Like, even Javier Bardem's character was like, all this running around is exhausting, man. What the fuck? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, we're
just
done already. Just relax. We're almost done with this. But it was good. Go check it out if you're a fan of Bond. Let us know what you think. Follow me personally at the word analysis. If you don't know how to spell that, you shouldn't be following me or listening to this podcast. And then the number is 489. You can catch me facebook.com/the same, analysis 489. That's also my Xbox Live. Hit me up on Xbox Live if you want to friend me. I've got a couple of friend requests. You have to let me know that you listen to the podcast, otherwise I'm not going to add you. You're just some random dude that wants to play games, and I don't play that. See what I did there? Not on purpose. Also, personal, I'm sorry, we have a music blog that's doing real well right now. Speaking of music, Adele did the soundtrack, the opening for,
is that what that
yeah,
was?
It's Adele. yeah, so that is fenentertainment.com, at fenpromos on Twitter, that's F-E-N promos. We're also on Google Plus. If that, if you're into that, not quite sure how to promote those pages just yet. Google is like in its infancy stages for the whole social media landing page. Lots of big projects coming up soon, so just keep checking back on a daily basis for new free music. Shout out to Carmen and Camille for letting us post their new video. It's called IDGAF. It stands for I Don't Give a Fuck, but they just actually never say it in the song, hence the acronym. We're big supporters of them. They've been letting us remix their tunes and reposting their stuff for a long time, so shout out to them. Go check them out. Really cute twin sisters from Canada. So that being said, thanks for listening. This has been episode, what was it?
42.
42. For oh, and we never mentioned what the actual Skyfall was.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I was going to give it a lower score for, but they finally described what it was. It's pretty much just a code name, if shit hits the fan, where you go to hide. Right?
Kind of, but it had to do with a personal string. I looked at it that way, where he grew up there. That was his infancy home. And it was the Skyfall Ranch or farm or
that,
whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he had, like, his old Scottish Jeeves, you know, the old, the tough old man.
He blew the shit out of his old
house.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was a great explosion.
But
rivaling the one from the first Expendables. That's how big that explosion
was. Actually, on that dock. But you know what? It's interesting that I never really figured. What is so bad about his he said, I always hated his house.
Not the dock, the castle, because his parents died there.
Still, but there has to be something else.
I want to know more about his past.
That's what I'm saying. It opened the door for me to, like, I wonder if
wonder
it
what
more
here,
into
yeah.
his secret past. Because even in his little psychological evaluation, they said from childhood trauma
to the present state,
to the present,
there's something there.
There's
that
something
wasn't.
There that's got him off kilter, but just controls it enough to be a good agent, you know? So I hope that they do go into his past some more, because Bond has always been, we know about what he does, and his future, but where did he come from?
Yeah, we never
figured
cool
that
out.
It was cool to see that Skyfall part. So.
I hope Sam Mendes comes back and directs another one. He did a great job.
I think he did, too. Well, if he was in charge of the casting, he did fantastic.
I doubt he was, because most direct. I don't know about that.
They always have their, their wish list to the, you know, the casting.
This is who I've worked with before. Yeah. This is who I would like to work with again, if you can't get them.
Or if he was directly involved with the screenplay, then he had something to do with the cast.
Yeah. All right, well, there you have it. That is episode 42. Holy shit, really?
I think so.
I just realized that we're almost at 50. I wonder what episode 50 is going to be. It's never planned. This is how not planned this is. Also, for the normal listeners, it's going to be one of the very few numbered episodes that falls in the middle of the week. That has to do with what I said in the first portion, is that it's just holiday times and the schedule's thrown off, so don't think that you missed a week. I have to take breaks sometimes to finagle times where we can go do this. So thanks to the new listeners for listening. Thanks to the old listeners for coming back. Please spread the word. Please catch us on iTunes. I need you to subscribe and rate and comment. I don't actually need you to download it through iTunes. If you don't use iTunes, it's fine. Just go there and subscribe and write a comment. It helps me out. Give us 5 stars. weeklate.com and at a weeklate on Twitter if you want to, as far as the website is concerned, stream it or download it for free. Never pay for a thing. We'll have an ad out on the radio soon in the Tampa Bay area, so thanks for that. Go Bucks, go Dolphins. There's another sports. there's another sports.
Reference.
Wow.
December 9th, going to go to the Bucks game.
Yeah, I might take some pictures and post that up. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Cheers. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. This will be posted the night before Thanksgiving. You won't hear another episode till probably the following Sunday or the Wednesday after, week from when you're listening to this. So thank you. Please tell your friends, download, share, rate, subscribe. That's it. Weeklate.com. I said that already. Good night, whenever you're listening to this. All right.
It's like the thing you just saw with the Big Bang. It's Howard.
At the very end.
It's Howard. All right, bye.
Oh, you were recording that?
Yeah, that's all right.
This episode of Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.